So out of curiosity, who here has heard of the KonMari method? Oh, a few. Maybe the name Marie Kondo? Yes, a few more. So KonMari is a combination of Marie Kondo's names. And I first heard about her from a friend who was decluttering her home. She had an adult child who had already left and another one finishing college. And there was simply too much stuff in her house. So when we met up for coffee one day, she shared with me her recent discovery of this decluttering guru from Japan and her concept of what brings joy into our lives. Joy. What sparks joy in your life? What gives you feelings of utter delight, perfect pleasure, complete happiness? This question of joy is one that Marie Kondo asks the families she's been invited to help in organizing the material wealth in their lives. Thus far, on Netflix, I've watched the first three episodes of Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. These families are really ordinary families. Ordinary families struggling with ordinary realities. The busy, exhausting schedule of having toddlers and trying to juggle work and home life. The accumulation of things for empty nesters as parents die and as children leave home. And then downsizing to a smaller place. These families were overwhelmed by the things in their homes and made the following comments. Clutter stresses me out. I want things to be more simple so that I don't have to be so stressed. I don't know how to fix it. I want to be more calm. I want to appreciate what I have instead of needing more things. Retail therapy is definitely something I'm guilty of. Whenever hubby and I would fight, shopping was a diversion. It was a way to calm down, de-stress, maybe hit hubby where it hurts, the pocketbook. I love having all of this. I would not just take the whole mountain of clothes and chuck it out. I really love what I have. I love clothing. But to put it, everything all in one pile. I've never done that before, and I've never seen the accumulation of everything that I own that's clothing. So now I am overwhelmed. The anxiety part is trying to understand what I have so that I can use it. That particular comment is from the second episode, and you can see Marie Kondo, who is a diminutive woman. She's probably about my height if she's not smaller than me. And the woman, Wendy, has piled all her clothes on a bed. Marie is literally on her tippy toes, putting more clothing onto the pile that has accumulated for Wendy. Things. The tyranny of things. What is this word tyranny? It can also be, there are many understandings, usually often in relation to government. But tyranny is also in relation to power and control. What was evident in the lives of these families, and perhaps yours, and certainly in parts of my own life, they had given up the power of control to things. Can some of you relate? Things, materialism, accumulated wealth, mammon. This is one issue that Jesus addresses in our scripture lesson today. That's only a segment of the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5. What is mammon? In the New Testament, the word mammon has acquired negative connotations, such as profit that's made unjustly. The word mammon, however, can also mean trust in material goods. Trust in material goods. This is what Jesus is addressing in his comments about mammon. When we trust in things, we become devoted to them. And so Jesus is not asking us to reject things per se or material wealth as much as Jesus is warning us and commanding us not to be vulnerable and give ourselves to the hold of things, the hold that mammon can have on our lives. The hold of things in our lives. In an online New Yorker article, someone was commenting on the most recent tsunami effects in Japan. The effects for those who lived in the affected area. There were people who were afraid to let things go. Letting go would be difficult. A lot of people started accumulating extra stuff while in temporary housing in case it might be needed. They were just afraid. Interestingly, it is common for people to hang on to things in the wake of trauma. It's a response that has been noted for some time. And hoarders report a much higher incidence of trauma in their lives generally than non-hoarders. Trauma. Facing mortality. As one commentator writes about things, about mammon, mammon is the most direct channel for self-assertion, the establishment of security, the acquisition of a sense of superiority over other mortals, and thus the presumed removal of the curse of mortality. The removal of the curse of mortality. And then what does mammon become? A surrogate immortality. People hanging on to things. What are you hanging on to? What has a hold on my life? What do you and I give away our power to? The truth of our scripture lesson this morning is that things, mammon, control us when we do not put all our trust in God alone and when we do not devote ourselves to God first and best. And when we allow things to control our lives, things acquire a tyranny. The spiritual discipline of simplicity addresses this tyranny. But what are spiritual disciplines? One writer defines spiritual disciplines as those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. Spiritual disciplines, therefore, are about learning, about experiencing the ways and habits that bring us closer to God, to the giver of life. And as we experience these ways and habits, our behaviors and attitudes, they begin to change because we begin to understand and accept the power that God has within us, over us, a power not of tyranny, but one of freedom and love. So going back to the spiritual discipline of simplicity, how can we know when we are inappropriately treasuring our possessions? The answer is at the beginning of our reading from Matthew 6. When we think about what we have, what has fallen victim in our homes to moth and rust? In other words, what's been collecting dust? What has seized up because we have not used it? And what could we have given away that someone else could have used in that time? Or maybe an even harder question, what could we have chosen not to buy in the first place? And what could we have even had the courage to ask to borrow? To borrow. To lend. In the spiritual discipline of simplicity, our learning is about who or what we treasure in our heart. Because that's ultimately where our decisions come from, our attitudes, our behavior. And when we discover that it is our possessions and our preoccupation with caring for and displaying things, or the concern about what people think about us or about what I need, we then begin to truly understand who and what is the true master in our lives. But trust is not just in possessions, in mammon. It can be consciously or unconsciously put into other people or into ourselves. So the other question when it comes to the spiritual discipline of simplicity that I want us to reflect upon and consider is this, or rather are these two. One, how much do we focus on pleasing others instead of God? How much do we perseverate on what other people think about us instead of resting in God's grace? So in other words, are we giving our power away to people? People. And the second question. When it comes to ourselves, how much do we focus on our needs and give in to our anxieties, our addictions, our neuroses? How much do we focus on me instead of what does the Lord require of us? But to do justly. See, the thing about God is, there is ultimate freedom found in the giver of life. How much do we recognize and understand that truth of liberation in the one who has come to give us life and life abundant? How often do we give away our power, not just to ourselves, but to people and to things, so that there is tyranny in our lives instead of freedom? The truth of our scripture reading reveals to us that it is when our devotion is to God, we then know where our true treasure is. But when our devotion is to things, to people, and even to our imperfect selves, we develop unhealthy attachments. We develop addictions, and we give away our power. The blessing of the spiritual discipline of simplicity is freedom, and it is joy. And so we come back to this question that Marie Kondo has asked the family she's been invited to work with. What sparks joy in your life? As we kick off our stewardship campaign of being rooted and built up in Christ, may we remember that Christ is the source of our joy. A sense of completion and contentment that's not bound by the conditions and situations of our world. And may we trust in our God to provide for all that we need, so that we may store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, fill our eyes and lives with light, and serve the one who gave and gives us life abundant. Amen.